where it's just
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tricepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tricepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. If you're watching us on Facebook Live, feel free to ask questions during the show. Also, a quick announcement. We are still giving away free samples of the Ultimate Human Nootropic product, which if I would have taken it this morning, I would remember it was called Da Vinci. You just have to send an email to onair@superhumanradio.com to get a sample sent to you. So remember that. And also, every time you share something from the Superhuman Radio Network Facebook page, you're entered to win $100 worth of free product from Keto Sports or Prototype Nutrition. William Chapman shared the heck out of stuff last week. I think he shared 26 different things from that page, and rightfully so. He was selected. He was selected at random, but he stacked the odds in his favor, and you can do the same thing. Just share anything from the Superhuman Radio Network page, and you're automatically entered. We'll announce next week winner. Next week. Now, on with the important show here. We are actually going to be talking about two different really, really important topics. The first one we're going to be talking about is with Dr. James D. Nicolantonio. How you doing?
James D. Nicolantonio.
I'm going to call you Dr. D for simplicity.
Okay. How's that sound? Dr. D for simplicity. How's that sound?
That works fine.
I don't know why we're getting some feedback, but I think it's going to go away here. Okay. Anyway. Let me see what's going on. Do you hear feedback on your end?
No, it's just a little choppy. It's like I'm getting like a one or two second delay.
Yeah, I guess that happens sometimes. Let's see if the feedback goes away now. Can you still hear me?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I'm just going to have to live with it for now. Anyway, we're having you on because of your new book that you just published, which is called The Salt Fix. But before we get into the book, I want the audience to know more about you. Talk about your background, your credentials, and so on.
Sure. So my name's Dr. James D. Nicolantonio. I'm a cardiovascular research scientist at St. Luke's.
Did we lose you? I don't hear you at all now. There you go. You're back.
Okay. So this is Dr. James Nicolantonio. I'm a cardiovascular research scientist and doctor of pharmacy at St. Luke's Mid-America Heart Institute. So the associate editor of British Medical Journal's Open Heart, which basically Open Heart is a cardiology journal. It's published in partnership with the British Cardiovascular Society. I published over 200 papers in the medical literature, mostly pertaining to nutrition and how it affects our health.
Okay. Now, this book, The Salt Fix. Why did you feel compelled to write this book?
So it actually kind of stems from in high school, I ran cross country. I wrestled. I always knew the importance of salt to fitness, and I've always been interested in nutrition. So really when I put my thinking cap on, started, you know, digging into the literature, and when I realized that really there's never been a single study that ever proved that cutting our salt intake is going to prevent cardiovascular events or mortality. And I saw a lot of people as a practicing pharmacist, I was seeing people that were potentially suffering from the low salt advice. You know, food didn't taste good. And a lot of people that I was helping out, they were just saying, you know, Dr. D, I really just want to be able to taste my food again. And, you know, when I started looking at some harmful effects of salt in the literature and started publishing about it, I became more interested in it. So that's why I wrote the book, The Salt Fix. This is it right here. And basically it's, you know, why the experts got it all wrong and how eating more might save your life. And it's got over 500 references. It took me over 2 years to write it. So it's definitely, you know, something very special to me.
So when you first started digging the feedback is horrible. I may have you disconnect and reconnect during the first break. Because I think because we didn't have this when we did our test before. I don't know where it's coming from. When you first started doing your research, when did we start talking about sodium being a problem in the diet?
Sorry, say that again, Carl. You're breaking up.
Yeah. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Do me a favor. Everybody sit tight. Disconnect and reconnect. Do me a favor. Just disconnect and reconnect.
Disconnect and reconnect. Do me a favor. Disconnect and reconnect.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay. Everybody sit tight. Test, test, test.
Sounds better now.
Yeah, the echo's gone. Okay, that was it. And thanks to Rick Pack, who's listening live and texting me, going, there's a hell of an echo on there. Okay, when did we gather this notion that sodium was bad for us? When did this evolve?
Yeah, so in the book, I basically, that's the first question I wanted to answer. It's like, where did we actually start thinking that salt was bad for us? Where does it come from? And so it actually, most of our nutritional whiplash that we're dealing with now stems from the 1977 dietary goals. They became the 1980 dietary guidelines, which are updated every 5 years. And basically back then there was no requirement for systematic reviews or meta-analyses for studies to prove that low salt actually reduces cardiovascular events. So it was all based on expert opinion. And so we just assumed that salt was bad for us, and it's carried over every 5 years. So I kind of tell the story of some of the key players in my book, and I kind of show why we've been led down the wrong dietary road for over 40 years now.
Now, isn't the whole concept of sodium being a problem that it somehow is believed that it alters the hemodynamics of blood? It increases blood volume, essentially. Wasn't that like the first, salt equals high blood pressure?
Yep. Basically, what you're referring to is the salt blood pressure hypothesis, which was invented over 100 years ago in 1904 by a couple of French scientists, Ambard and Bojard. And basically, that's exactly what you're saying, is that we presumed that if you eat too much salt in your throats, that it automatically is going to lead to strokes and heart attacks. And actually, when we cut our salt intake, that reduction in blood to be a good thing. So it seemed to be volume depletion, dehydration, it increases the activation of your plates, the thickness of your blood. That's basically a recipe for a heart attack. And it's probably why most of the population studies looking at salt intake show that people who eat the lowest amounts of salt are actually at the highest risk for cardiovascular events and early mortality.
That's amazing. And in fact, there was a study published just recently. I remember reading it just recently. Oh, there's that damn echo again. And it said that reducing salt does not have any beneficial effect on blood pressure. Did you see that recently?
Yeah, actually, the study showed that those who restricted their salt intake actually had higher blood pressures when they were followed up. I think it was for over 16 years. And I mean, even back in it was maybe 20 years ago. The Inner Salt study came out, and that's actually what put sodium on our nutrition. The same thing, that actually sodium intake was reduced, blood pressure actually tended to go up. So even the evidence in populations has never really suggested that salt leads to high blood pressure.
Okay. So when you were writing this book, as you pointed out to me a little while ago, this book is written not only for dietary recommendations of sodium in the average person, but also speaks to performance. So where did performance come in? How did you realize that performance could, because I got to believe that anything that helps performance helps life in general. But where does performance fall into with sodium?
Yeah, that's a great question. So what I kind of call salt the sixth factor in fitness, because we lose salt when we exercise and we sweat it out, and we also lose a lot of other minerals too, including iodine, which is really important. And so that came about. I was just researching salt and you know, who might be susceptible to becoming, and obviously, you know, there was a lot of literature that came up on, you know, athletes and endurance athletes who are losing a bunch of salt in their sweat. And so basically, I mean, that's actually impacted myself as well. I started working out again last summer for the first time. I went to the gym. I didn't dose myself with salt. I hit the weights and I ran, and I basically passed out for like 3 minutes. And so the next day I made sure to dose myself with salt beforehand. I worked out twice as hard and had no type of fainting or any episode like that. And so when you look at the literature,
I want to interrupt you. Hold on a second. This is profound. I don't want to just gloss over what you just said. There's a lot of people who go to the gym and train, and they'll message me, and they'll say, I was training and I got really lightheaded. I felt like I was going to pass out, or everything kind of got woozy and white, and what could it be? What could it be? And it never dawned on me that it could be the fact that they just don't have enough sodium in their body.
Yep, it's 100% right. So basically, salt is super important for improving blood circulation, keeping your heart rate down so you can actually exercise harder without feeling fatigued. It actually, because you can regulate our temperature through sweat. And so it also reduces what's called overtraining syndrome. A lot of people don't realize that when they slowly exercise, they're slowly depleting their tissues of salt. And that can be one of the symptoms of muscle cramping is, you know, from being done. And so this is a huge problem.
That's amazing. That is, because we talk about overtraining all the time. If something as simple as making sure you're getting enough sodium in your diet could actually ward off overtraining, holy mackerel. This little tidbit of information is worth the whole show right there.
There's a ton of like tips like that in the book.
And I want to plug the book. So we can't cover everything that's in the book today, obviously. The idea is for us to get the word out that the book needs to be read by anybody who considers themselves from a weekend warrior to a serious athlete, because you could be missing out on amazing performance abilities because you are neglecting the reality that you are depleted of sodium. So the book is available everywhere, right? It's available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon. Do you want people to go to a certain place to buy the book?
Yeah, so probably the best place would be my website, which is thesaltfix.com. But yeah, you can get it at Amazon, Target, Barnes & Noble, and there's a bunch of other places too.
Okay, I want to go ahead and take our first commercial break. And when we come back, I want to address the discussion of how do you dose salt. So I want you to kind of give people a little Reader's Digest version. If they think they are salt depleted or sodium depleted, whatever the proper terminology is, what they should be thinking about doing to correct that. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Products can boast being considered the food of the gods by the Aztecs, but the ingredients in Bio Superfood have been. Some algae are the most efficient forms of nutrients, proteins, minerals, enzymes, fatty acids, antioxidants, and much more. Bio Superfood is something you have to experience for yourself. That's why, for a limited time, buy any Bio Superfood products and save 15% off your first order. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad to read the research and learn why BioSuperfood is the best supplement in the world you're not already taking. New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
If you've followed my transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenics Prime and then train fasted and remain fasted till my first meal at 2 o'clock. Ketogenics Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Ketogenics Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketogenics banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Ketogenics Prime. I couldn't have done it without
it. Alaskans agree that sockeye offers the truest salmon taste. Over decades of fishing Alaskan waters, Vital Choice has rare access to the very finest of these fish. Vital Choice sockeye comes from smaller harvest regions with fewer boats and faster processing. So our sockeye is flash frozen within hours of harvest to capture its fresh caught quality. Rich in flavor, omega-3s, and vitamin D, our most popular salmon also abounds in astaxanthin, the potent antioxidant that provides its vibrant red hue. Save 15% off. Go to Superhuman Radio and click the Vital Choice banner ad today.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Discover the faster way of getting real results with BodybuildingSupplements.com. BodybuildingSupplements.com has powerful, proven solutions like patent technology, Cree Alkaline Supreme, Mass Pro Synthogen, and Adaptogen N.
RVD here. I love Adaptogen N. Give it a try. You'll see.
Buy Adaptogen N at BodybuildingSupplements.com. See remarkable results in 21 days or your money back. BodybuildingSupplements.com. Since 1993, the trusted source for real results.
Use promo code SUPERHUMAN and get an extra 15% off your Adaptogen N today at BodybuildingSupplements.com.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. James D. Nicolantonio about his new book, The Salt Fix. But really, this discussion is so important. I can't, you know, it's an opportunity to discuss something that we have, once again, when you look at nutritional guidance, especially from the mainstream medical orthodoxy over the past 50 years, it always seems like whatever they tell us not to eat, we end up finding out a generation later, oops, we should have been eating that. And in more in greater quantities. This is why we have to turn towards things like evolutionary medicine to understand how much sodium we actually got in our diet before nutrition became a business. With that being said, so if someone like me, and I tell you this show is selfish. This is for me. I believe that I've been sodium depleted for a very, very long time. I drink distilled water. I don't necessarily salt my food. It's not like I go out of my way to avoid sodium, but I do a lot of things that deplete sodium. I sit in the sauna for long periods of time. I sweat profusely while I train. I use caffeine, sometimes as much as 1,000 milligrams a day over the course of a day. So I may be that person. What do I do? How do I start dosing? And how long does it take for tissue levels to be repleted? Did you get all that? James? We're having such a difficult time right now. I don't know if we've lost him or not. James, can you hear me? I have his mic open. We need to disconnect and reconnect again.
It's a good question.
Oh, okay.
You said about three different things where you're depleting your body. So, do you want to hear me?
You know what? Yeah, he just disconnected. Let's disconnect. I think the problem is that we can't use Wi-Fi when we do these Facebook Lives because Wi-Fi seems to cause some of these problems. You did hear the entire question, right?
Yep, I did.
Okay, go ahead. Give me the answer.
Okay. Yeah, so basically, the book actually kind of walks you through a little bit about how to dose yourself with salt. And your question was, how long does it take for tissue? So it depends how depleted you are. But basically, what you want to do is calculate the ways that you're losing salt and add that salt back. So as you and I kind of discussed prior to the show, 4 cups of coffee can cause over 2,000 milligrams of sodium loss.
You know what, James, can you hear me? I want to abandon Facebook Live. I want to abandon this video. I want to call you back on a telephone.
That's almost an entire teaspoon. Right? If you're worthy, there's another way to kind of...
Yeah, because this is not working. Yeah, we have too much of a delay going on. I want to call you back. Can you text me a phone number? We're going to abandon this, and everybody just move over to superhumanradio.com and listen live to the audio stream. Can you text me your phone number, please, James? Okay, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, forget about it. You know what? I have to rethink this whole Facebook Live thing. We have to have Ethernet connection for both ends, quite frankly. But okay, so let's get back to the question at hand. How do I dose it? So I have to calculate what I expect I'm losing. You were just about to talk about caffeine's influence on sodium loss. Go ahead and go there.
Yeah, exactly. So my book's going to help you calculate how much salt you're going to lose depending on what you're doing. So how you're going to dose yourself, though, is basically the easiest way is to take your salt in lemonade or lemon juice, lime juice, or orange juice, just like a shot. You can even take it dry and wash it down, or some people like to drink pickle juice. Some people even like to do soy sauce. But basically, it is kind of like you do want to calculate it, because if you can figure out how much you're losing and replace what's lost, then you're going to, you're not going to become depleted in salt. So there is a little bit of science behind how much you should be dosing yourself. And my book kind of lays that out in a few tables.
Okay. Now, but that's just to top me off. Let's assume I have become sodium depleted for the past 8 or 9 years. Is it wise to overdose to create a therapeutic environment where tissue levels are going to be influenced faster? Or do I just do the math that you put out in the book and wait longer for it all to happen?
Yeah, so luckily your body has a built-in salt thermostat. So just like we have thirst for water, our body has a salt, natural salt hunger. So instead of consciously restricting your salt intake, you should be listening to your body, and your body's going to tell you how much salt you need.
And how does it tell me that?
Basically, your mouth will become dry. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people sometimes cross over and think that the dry mouth is for more water. And that's how a lot of athletes get in trouble, because they overhydrate, but they don't give themselves enough salt. And that's why basically 1 out of 5 endurance athletes become hyponatremic, which is low sodium levels in the blood when they do their sport. They're by the end of the athletic event, they're depleted. They've depleted their blood levels of sodium. But how you know is that thirst signal, and you're going to just, you'll feel more fatigue, the dry hands, the dry mouth. So those are signals that you may need more salt.
Wow, this is amazing. Does sodium or does salt affect the nervous system directly? I understand muscle tissue and so on and so forth, but does salt affect the nervous system directly, central and peripheral?
Yes, it does. So basically, all cell life requires sodium moving in and out of the cells. And basically, sodium helps with so many other things that people don't even realize. But basically, if you want to absorb vitamins, sodium is required for certain vitamins like vitamin C and biotin to actually absorb. Sodium actually helps those water-soluble vitamins actually get absorbed in your body. So there's all these cool things that salt does in the body. I mean, we wouldn't even have stomach acid if we didn't consume salt, because stomach acid is hydrochloric acid, or chloride, which is the other half of salt.
Oh,
man. Most people know about sodium, but a lot of people don't understand that chloride is also in salt. And so you wouldn't even be able to digest your food well and absorb vitamins and minerals if you didn't have that chloride that you're getting from salt. So there's a lot of cool things that salt helps you with that most people don't even realize.
So are there any type of obscure symptoms associated with long-term sodium depletion, or let's say inadequate sodium levels? Like, as you're talking, I'm thinking, I just had this discussion with my son. He's becoming a physician's assistant. He had to take a course on AFib the other day. The rate of atrial fibrillation and rhythm issues in the country is just astonishing. And it can't be explained away by people living longer or any of that nonsense. It's like, it's almost like an epidemic right now. And when you were talking about, you know, how the role that sodium plays in heart function, I'm thinking to myself, what if everybody is, because we know everybody's over consuming caffeine. We know that. Everybody's going six times a day to Starbucks and using energy shots and drinking monster drinks and so on. And then they're not salting their food because they're told not to. And then they are sweating perhaps. And could this rash, is it plausible that this rash of rhythm issues that we're seeing in the country could be precipitated by the lack of adequate sodium in the diet?
Yeah, absolutely. So one mechanism of how low-salt diets can induce arrhythmias is low-salt diets have been actually shown to cause magnesium deficiency. And it does that in three ways. We actually lose magnesium in our bones, we lose more in our sweat, and we lose more in the urine when we cut our salt intake. And the reason is in order to maintain adequate sodium levels in the blood on a low-sodium diet, our body will pull the sodium from the bone. But these osteoclasts, these little bone cells that strip the sodium out of the bone, they're not specific for sodium. They also pull magnesium and calcium. So they strip the body of magnesium and calcium to maintain normal sodium levels, and the magnesium and calcium get kicked out of the urine. So it depletes you of magnesium, and to conserve on salt, if you're eating a low-salt diet, the body will sweat out more magnesium and sweat out less salt.
Oh my
God. You lose
God.
Actually more magnesium when you're on a low-salt diet. And the third way that low-salt diets can lead to magnesium deficiency and potentially induce arrhythmias, because we know magnesium deficiency has been proven to induce arrhythmias, is that the high aldosterone levels that happen with low-salt diets actually kick more magnesium out of the kidneys. So there's three magnesium-depleting ways that low-salt diets can potentially induce arrhythmias, because we know that just eating 100 milligrams of magnesium a day, which is a low amount, can induce arrhythmias in postmenopausal women. So it's a big issue, and some salts actually contain magnesium and may help to kind of prevent those type of issues.
Oh, man, this is amazing. Okay, so I want to take a break. And when we come back, Elisa sent me an article that just was published today about, I think it was in the New York Post, I forget where it was, about the fact that we still haven't reduced sodium in the diet adequately in the United States yet. And with that kind of message, and then with the things you're talking about, it seems to me that something is wrong with the medical orthodoxy telling people to reduce their sodium more and more. So I want to get your opinion of that article when we come back. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
All right, and stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Super Human Radio. Sorry for the difficulties before, but we're back to normal now.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N labs.com.
In today's world, what would you give to have that ultimate edge, to always function at the highest possible level? That's exactly what the Da Vinci from Ultra Human gives you. Just one tablet a day increases focus, lowers anxiety, enhances social fluency, and improves your mood and drive. It's 8 hours strong with no crash. A sharp mind is priceless, and the Da Vinci even comes with a money-back guarantee. Find out more at theultrahuman.net. Make your brain 25 again with the Da Vinci from theultrahuman.net. Use discount code SHR10 for 10% off and free shipping.
Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoKana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of KetoKana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the KetoKana banner ad today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. James DeNiclantonio about his new book, The Salt Fix. This is a must-have book, folks. This, you know why? This isn't a supplement. This is something that's in your cupboard right now. And if it could improve the quality of your life and your performance in the gym, please, please, are you kidding me? We should all be reading this book. And so, with that being said, I forwarded you an article this morning, James, about a discussion that's going on right now of whether or not we are having we have successfully lowered sodium intake in people here in the United States. I think it was in the Washington Times. I forget where it was. I'm trying to find it right now. Did you have a chance to look at that?
I did. So the article was interesting because it said that we've lowered the amount of salt in processed foods, but we still haven't reached an optimal, you know, low salt intake. But what's interesting about that article is that it's telling you what the problem is. It's not the salt, it's the processed foods.
Right.
And so what's interesting is that we fear salt so much we're willing to throw in added sugar or all these, you know, artificial preservatives when we have nature's most natural preservative and we're so afraid of salt. That's the whole why we got to change the whole mindset. We got it wrong. And I think there's three things we can learn from that article, which actually kind of scare me a little bit. So they're lowering the salt content of processed foods. So there's three unintended consequences that could happen when they do that. One is that you're going to increase the risk of foodborne illness because salt is one of our best antimicrobials. Two, you're going to increase the risk of food spoilage. So when you have a low-salt version of bacon, the expiration date is 50% less than if it's a regularly salted bacon. So you're going to potentially increase the risk of food wastage by lowering the and foods. And the third risk is that, as I said before, the body drives our salt intake. So if it drives you to consume, let's say, 8 to 10 grams of salt per day, and you're buying these low-salt products, you might end up eating two or three more of those bags of chips to get the salt your body wants. So you may be eating more carbs and more processed foods when they're low in salt. So the another unintended consequence of these low-salt foods is potentially increasing the risk of overeating carbs and sugar and increasing the risk of diabetes and obesity.
When you look at the natural salt content, the sodium content of regular foods like beef or tomatoes, it's sky high. If we ate whole food diets like a paleo type diet or an ancestral diet, and we ate the amount of food required to meet not only our resting energy expenditure but also the workload expenditure as well, we would probably get 5,000 to 6,000 milligrams of sodium a day in our diet. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, that's 100% correct. So what I like to tell people is during Paleolithic times, we used to eat the whole organism, right? We consume the entire animal, the whole carcass, the salty blood, the salty interstitial fluid, the salty skin, the salty organs, all that's been removed, and you're left with a dry, unsalted piece of meat at the store, at the supermarket. So we got to add the salt back because it's missing from our diet now. And most people don't realize that.
So if a person is a hard training athlete, they sweat profusely. The summer is here now. They occasionally sit in a hot sauna like I do. They drink a gallon of water a day. It's not unreasonable for them to shoot, make it a goal to get 5,000 milligrams of sodium a day in their diet. But am I correct about that?
Yeah, no, you're 100% correct, because we lose on average about 1,400 to 1,500 milligrams of sodium per hour of exercise. And we can lose over 2,000 milligrams of sodium consuming just 4 cups of coffee. And then you add in the sauna and all these other things, you know, you can become sodium depleted even consuming 5,000 milligrams of sodium a day. It just depends on how much salt you're losing.
So these are questions from people. So Rick Pack says, I wonder if too little salt could actually lead to dental cavities, caries, given what Dr. James said about mineral depletion. What do you think of that?
Yeah, no, 100% correct. Actually, an ancient Roman philosopher, his name was Pliny, P-L-I-N-Y,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
he said that they used to, back in the ancient Roman times, they would rub salt on the gums and the teeth to prevent not only dental caries but inflammation. And I actually did that a couple days ago. So I went to the dentist. They destroyed my gums. I was swollen and inflamed. Nothing was helping. I took a half a teaspoon of mineral salt, put it in 4 ounces of water, gargled, swished it around for about 5-10 minutes. Honestly, almost right away, the inflammation and the pain was cut from like a 7 out of 10 to like a 3 out of 10. So absolutely, you know, the salt can potentially, you know, prevent dental caries and help with inflammation in the gums. And where sugar, obviously, it's the wrong white crystal. It's not the white crystal you want to be consuming, and it's the leading cause of dental caries is over consuming sugar. So actually, salt and sugar kind of have like an opposite effect in the body.
Uh-huh.
So it's like good versus evil.
Interestingly enough, my mother, when I was a young boy, anytime I had a sore throat, she made me gargle with warm water, salt water, like 3 or 4 times a day to get rid of the sore throat. This question comes all the way from Kuwait, from Qatar. I guess that's Kuwait, right? This is Dr. John Parker. He said, is there a linkage between sodium intake and Raynaud's syndrome? And it's a long message, but he's looking at the renin-angiotensin-aldosterone system and its effect on vascular, peripheral vasculature, and so on. Could sodium be the reason some people have, or low sodium be the reason some people suffer from Raynaud's syndrome?
Well, it certainly is not going to help the syndrome. So absolutely, when you cut your salt intake, your blood vessels constrict to maintain blood volume, which is not a good thing. So that peripheral vascular resistance goes up when you cut your salt intake, just like you've become depleted in water from dehydration. So that's going to reduce blood flow, right, to the hands, the arms, the legs. Your blood circulation drops dramatically. I mean, salt is the best thing you can do to improve blood circulation. So, yeah, I mean, someone who has Raynaud's syndrome, that can definitely precipitate and make things worse, for sure, if they cut their salt intake.
So an interesting phenomenon, Elisa, when she eats something that has a lot of sodium in it, she looks at me and she goes, oh, that stuff must have had a lot of sodium in it, because her fingers literally puff up. But that's actually vascular expansion, isn't it? That's happening in her hands and periphery.
Well, so If that's your body's not supposed to swell up when you consume salt. When it's swelling up, that means salt is leaking out of the blood stream and into the interstitial fluid.
Uh-huh.
So that means something's causing the blood vessels to be leaky. So there's a few substances in the body that can do that. Salt is never the issue, because that would mean your own blood, which is extremely salty, is the issue, which makes absolutely no sense.
Right.
Normally, when there's a problem, if you're swelling and you're retaining too much salt, generally you have high levels of insulin from over-consuming a diet high in refined carbs and sugar.
Mm.
If you just cut the sugar, fix the insulin resistance, you're going to fix that salt-sensitive, quote-unquote, high blood pressure and swelling and things like that.
Very, very interesting. Very interesting. What about, and this is a question from me. So I have developed some numbness in my lower extremities and my hands. And I've looked at vitamin B deficiencies. I've looked at a variety of different things. Obviously, there could be a neurological, my sister died from a degenerative neurological disorder, and I just may have been cursed with that and be going down that path someday. But with that being said, could sodium, chronic sodium depletion over long periods of time, could it manifest in a kind of a sensory or hyperalgesia type of a phenomenon?
Yeah, no, it definitely can. So when you don't consume enough salt, blood volume goes down, blood circulation is reduced, and so you literally are at an increased risk of your muscles and your hands, or you know, your extremities becoming numb and having muscle cramps. So
Man. Definitely
a possibility.
Okay, so I'm going to read the book, and I am going to do the math, and I'm going to start adding sodium into my diet. But is there too much sodium? I know that hyponatremia you can die from. We know that girl who wanted to win an Xbox for her son in Colorado, I think it was, and a DJ on a shock jock on a radio show had her drink like 2 gallons of water back to back while she sat there, and she literally just died in the lobby when she was leaving with her Xbox. Her heart stopped beating because her sodium level drops so dramatically. So is there too much sodium? Could I take so much sodium that I burst?
Well, it's funny. So there's actually was a study published a couple decades ago that tested an extremely high amount of salt. So if you have normal kidney function in someone who has normal blood pressure, and they don't have certain chronic diseases that might cause you to retain more salt, if you're just a normal person, your kidneys can easily excrete 10 times the normal salt intake, which is up to 80 to 100 grams of salt. And what's funny is we actually used to consume that much amount of salt for the last 8,000 years because we salted everything to preserve our food.
Right.
It's only been in the last 50 years that we had the refrigerator. And actually, so when you look at it from that perspective, we're actually eating a low amount of salt compared to what we have for almost the last 10,000 years. I mean, the Romans consumed 25 grams of salt every day. We only consume about 8 grams of salt.
Is sodium chloride and sodium bicarbonate, are they both good sources of sodium, or should you opt for the chloride over the bicarbonate?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I do both. So I drink Gerald Steiner water, which gives me a good amount of bicarbonate. And certainly sodium chloride is just your natural salt, and we kind of went over a little bit about the benefits of why you want chloride, because
right,
it is beneficial for producing stomach acid and things of that nature. So I do think that if you're not going to get sodium bicarbonate in things like Gerald Steiner water, you do want to consume a good amount of fruits and vegetables, because that helps to bring a lot of that bicarbonate in the diet that a lot of people are lacking.
Interesting. We're going to take our last commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this topic and also tell you where to get the book. I'm telling you, people, this is a must-have book. This is kind of like we have been lied to about sodium for so long, just like we were lied to about fat, just like we've been lied to about cholesterol. I mean, it's, you know, this is the new evolutionary selection pressure, folks. Where you get your information from will determine your health span, your lifespan, and the health span and lifespan of your children. This is a must-have book, The Salt Fix. It'll not only help your life, it'll help you in the gym. What's better than that? We'll be right back.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Few products can boast being considered the food of the gods by the Aztecs, but the ingredients in BioSuperfood have been. Some algae are the most efficient forms of nutrients, proteins, minerals, enzymes, fatty acids, antioxidants, and much more. BioSuperfood is something you have to experience for yourself. That's why, for a limited time, buy any BioSuperfood products and save 15% off your first order. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad to read the research and learn why BioSuperfood is the best supplement in the world you're not already taking.
If you've followed my transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenics Prime and then trained, fasted, and remained fasted till my first meal at 2 o'clock. Ketogenics Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Ketogenics Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketogenics banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Ketogenics Prime. I couldn't have done it without it.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advance contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advance. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advance banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
And now sodium. Gotta add that to the... So Rick Pack, who is asking the question about dental cavities and caries, just posted on Facebook, I've been doing the sauna often and exercising the same days. This show inspired me to drink some salted water, and it tastes surprisingly good. Thanks, Doc. Is that an indicator? If a lot of people crave salt, but they don't salt their food because their doctor tells them don't salt your food. Isn't that an indicator right there that you need more salt?
Yeah, cravings for salt is basically one of the best indicators that you need more salt. And that's kind of that salt thermostat that our body tells us and signals from the brain telling you you need more salt.
And unfortunately, people turn their cravings off because we've craved salt for so long, but we've been told that it's no good, so we actually ignore that craving. So I have a feeling that what Rick Pack is talking about here means something too. If you drink salt water and you go, wow, that tastes good, that may be because you've ignored the craving so long, but now you're introducing it and the body's going, yeah, yeah, that's what we've been talking about all along.
I mean, you're 100% right. And I actually have two family members that were told to cut their salt intake. And despite their body telling them that they needed salt, they just totally restricted it, going with what their doctor advised them. And they both wound up in the hospital with low sodium levels in the blood. And that's the crazy thing about it. It's like we think that we're smarter than our own bodies, but we're not. And so to ignore your salt cravings is honestly going against what your own body's telling you you should be doing. And no one would ever avoid their thirst for water. We just demonize salt so much. And hopefully my book is going to shed light and let people, you know, bring the salt shaker back to the table and not feel the guilt anymore.
Okay, so that was one of my questions, right? So this book is really flies in the face of what's still being promoted by the medical orthodoxy about sodium or salt. I guess when we talk about salt, we're talking about sodium and chloride together. But so we'll just say salt. This flies in the face of what is constantly being promoted from 1,000 points every single day, news magazines, TV shows, everything. Don't salt your food. Take the salt out of your diet. Take the salt. What kind of response are you getting from clinicians and peers about this book after they've read it? Not when they just look at the cover, after they've read it.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've been getting such positive feedback, and because once people understand the story behind it and the lack of evidence that goes back 40 years, they can start to understand, like, wow, we've kind of had the wool pulled over our eyes.
Yes.
And when they can start seeing some of the benefits of salt, which very few people understand, honestly, the reception has been incredible. And people at the gym, they've told me that their workouts are just way better. They don't, you know, feel like they have to faint or they don't feel like they need to stop their workout. So it's just been overall great feedback.
Okay, so the book is called The Salt Fix. I'm telling everyone to buy this book. I don't tell everyone to buy everything we talk about on the show. But I'm telling everybody to buy this book because I suspect that the way some people are genetically predisposed to certain disorders, there's some of us, and I think this is me, and quite frankly, I said this a long time ago, my sister was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease and she was misdiagnosed, and I'm convinced of that to the day that I die. But there may be some of us who have a greater sensitivity to low sodium levels, and chronically low sodium levels could lead to disease states, and your doctor will never figure it out. And if you could just start salting stuff and increasing your sodium intake and give it a few months, obviously monitor your blood pressure. We don't want people to stroke out, because if you do have a chronic kidney disorder that's been undiagnosed, obviously you have to be careful of that. Even though sodium bicarbonate and sodium chloride have been both shown to relieve the stress in chronic kidney disease. Two great studies. I was surprised when I read that a while ago. The other thing that sodium does, believe it or not, that no one's paying attention to, is it actually shuts off tissue calcification in the presence of high 25-hydroxy OHD, vitamin D levels. You don't need vitamin K. You just need to make sure you have enough sodium in your diet to shut that off, by the way. But more importantly, I suspect that there's some of us who are more susceptible to developing disease states from chronic sodium depletion. Would you agree with that, or do you think I'm going too far out on a limb?
No, you're 100% right. So in the book, I kind of reveal all these disease states and all these lifestyle choices and all these medications that cause salt loss. So there's millions of people that have inflammatory bowel disease like Crohn's and ulcerative colitis. You know, I counsel these people on a daily basis, actually. And there's other people that just don't absorb salt well, that have celiac disease or IBS. And so they don't even realize that they're eating. You look at someone, you see that they're eating a ton of salt, but it might be because they're not absorbing it well. And on the other side of the spectrum, there's people with kidney disease that when you get damage to the kidneys, they can no longer reabsorb the salt in your blood. And so they start spilling salt out in the urine. And so there's a lot of people that are at risk of salt loss, and they don't even realize that.
Yeah, this is This, dude, this is such an important book. When you were writing this, you must have realized as these things were starting to reveal themselves to you, oh my God, this could be like, you know, we all want a silver bullet, and I'm not saying this is a silver bullet, but this may be the silver bullet for a lot of people out there.
Yeah, no, I mean, when I was researching it and just the evidence just kept stacking up and stacking up, and I wound up with originally over 700 references, and we chopped it down to 500, but I mean, it was just overwhelming how much information I poured into this book.
Plug your website again.
Yeah, the website is thesaltfix.com.
Okay, go there and buy the book. Also, your blog is there. Is that where your blog is as well?
So right now we haven't launched a blog yet, but I'm definitely considering doing that in the near future. So,
okay, because I know you. Who'd you write the article about caffeine intake and sodium loss? Where was that article?
Yeah, that was in Mind Body Green.
There you go, Mind Body Green. A great article if you want to read it about the coffee you're drinking, the pre-workout you're taking, and how they are adding to sodium depletion. Oh man, I don't even want to do the second hour show. I want to go get a bottle of salt and start eating it. I got to tell you the truth, because I really feel that this may be something that has been plaguing me and I didn't realize it. Thank you so much for putting up with the technical problems and being on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Carl. Appreciate it.
Take care. We're going to take one quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by Dr. Thomas Levy to talk about, could vitamin C be the treatment for sepsis? This is so exciting. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
$4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym?
You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Few products can boast being considered the food of the gods by the Aztecs, but the ingredients in Bio Superfood have been. Some algae are the most efficient forms of nutrients, proteins, minerals, enzymes, fatty acids, antioxidants, and much more. Bio Superfood is something you have to experience for yourself. That's why, for a limited time, buy any Bio Superfood products and save 15% off your first order. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad to read the research and learn why Bio Superfood is the best supplement in the world you're not already taking. Alaskans agree that sockeye offers the truest salmon taste. Over decades of fishing Alaskan waters, Vital Choice has rare access to the very finest of these fish. Vital Choice sockeye comes from smaller harvest regions with fewer boats and faster processing, so our sockeye is flash frozen within hours of harvest to capture its fresh caught quality. Rich in flavor, omega-3s, and vitamin D, our most popular salmon also abounds in astaxanthin, the potent antioxidant that provides its vibrant red hue. Save 15% off. Go to Superhuman Radio and click the Vital Choice banner ad today.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. So there is a doctor in our midst who's carrying on a lot of the stuff that Linus... Whoa! He was in our midst. Hold on a second.
Hold on a second.
Today is technical difficulty day. Listen to some music. Okay, hold on. So what I was saying was there is a doctor in our midst who is carrying on the fine work that Linus Pauling did, and his name is Dr. Thomas Levy. How you doing, Tom?
Good. Thank you.
So whenever we talk about vitamin C, we have you on because I don't think anybody out there today has done that's still alive, that's done the kind of research that you have and the kind of advocacy work that you have for vitamin C, this simple, simple vitamin that is very, very overlooked. And yet another study is published looking at treating sepsis with vitamin C. So for those in the audience who don't know anything about sepsis, explain this condition and how life-threatening it is.
Well, sepsis is basically an end-stage infection, if you will. The infection from whatever cause, post-operative or an infected wound, you get such a concentration of pathogens, microorganisms in your bloodstream that you become infected throughout your body, disseminated by the blood, and ultimately, before you die, you go into a state where the infection is so overwhelming you start to lose your blood pressure. That's called septic shock. So, So the study you're talking about refers to advanced sepsis and septic shock, which is directly prior to death, when the organs don't get enough blood, and then the organs start to shut down.
And this happens often in the world today, and it happens even more so in less developed nations, in less developed countries, because here we quite often we have certain ways to suppress the load, the infection load with antibiotics and stuff like that. But those antibiotics are becoming less and less effective. And sepsis is actually on the rise. With that being said, talk about this research. This research actually looked at a patient who came into the hospital and was literally just die. They're going to just wait for this person to die, right? They were in or going into septic shock.
Pretty much. The individual who was doing the treatment, Dr. Paul Merrick at the Eastern Virginia Medical School in Norfolk, Virginia, had been treating sepsis, and all the different illnesses that you see on the intensive care unit for many years. On his own, apparently, by his writings, it turns out that he was and had been reviewing some of the work of Dr. Klenner and some of the literature on vitamin C. And also at his institution, they had done a few safety studies, some other researchers, on giving not too large a dose of vitamin C, something on the order of 6 grams a day intravenously, and found that to be extraordinarily safe. And at one point in time, Dr. Marek had an advanced case of sepsis, a 48-year-old woman basically dying of septic shock. He was going home for the evening, and in his own words, he didn't expect her to be alive in the morning, so he said, what the heck, I'm going to give her vitamin C, hydrocortisone, and thiamine. As it turns out, vitamin C and hydrocortisone are probably the two most potent anti-inflammatory agents that exist. But in his words, he said, I was expecting the next morning when I came to work, she would be dead. But when I walked in the next morning, I got the shock of my life. And she was doing much better and then progressed to go ahead and be discharged shortly thereafter. So this got him to thinking. And then he subsequently did 47 consecutive more patients with the protocol and had a mortality rate from the sepsis before he used the protocol of roughly 40% drop down to 1%.
That's astonishing.
So, I mean, it's, as one of my friends said, you know, if any pharmaceutical drug did that, it would immediately be the biggest miracle drug, probably since or even more so than penicillin.
Okay, so how many grams of vitamin C did he give in his protocol, and was this intravenous?
Yes, it was intravenous, but for us folks, and I include you in that, Carl, the doses were not super mega. They were bigger than usual. It was 1.5 grams of vitamin C every 6 hours. So
that's not a lot at all.
6 grams a day, obviously far less than what Klenner used, but he also gave the hydrocortisone. Now, the hydrocortisone is an anti-inflammatory, and when you're going into shock, you're losing that capacity to contract your blood vessels, and is also associated with a great deal of inflammation. And I personally think we won't know until this has been worked out much more, but I think the small dose of vitamin C and the hydrocortisone were very synergistic. They not only worked together, they made each other better. That said, I think if she'd have gotten 25 to 50 grams of vitamin C intravenously once or twice a day, she'd have got the same result. But I have absolutely no problem at all with adding the hydrocortisone, because I think in this case, it made what might have been a much less effective dose, of vitamin C, much more effective. So, and he had his own thoughts about thiamine. I'm not sure. I mean, thiamine is a wonderful B vitamin. I don't know that it played a critical role in this protocol. I think the main two players were the vitamin C and the hydrocortisone together, because they have also done studies that show the hydrocortisone alone did not have a dramatic effect on sepsis and septic shock. But I think the two together did it. And I also believe, as I said, if we used higher doses of vitamin C, it could certainly get the same effect as a monotherapy. But short-term doses of hydrocortisone are completely harmless, so there's no reason not just to go with the protocol now that works.
So let's talk about the pathway, because we can extrapolate out from this extreme life-saving therapeutic approach some everyday benefits, if you will. And so the septic shock is a result of the body's immune system's inability to fight off the attack. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, basically, because it's just a volume quantity thing. The body has just been completely overwhelmed. I mean, most infections you have that are even causing a lot of disease will not give you what's called positive blood cultures. I mean, when you're in sepsis and septic shock, you just take a blood specimen and you can grow the pathogens straight out of the blood. So it's an overwhelming presence of pathogens and infectious microorganisms. And there's just a point at which nothing can overwhelm something when it's manifest beyond a certain point. And that's the case with sepsis, yes.
But I think where I was going with this, and the hydrocortisone is naturally produced by the body as cortisol, by the adrenal glands, and it's well understood that vitamin C, one of its primary objectives, you find most of the vitamin C in a person's body in the adrenal glands. Am I incorrect on that statement?
That's correct, and it would imply, although I don't know the mechanisms have been worked out, it would imply that there's a very strong and intimate association between cortisol,
yes,
and the effects that cortisol has via the release of vitamin C from the adrenals.
Yes.
Now, I can't say that's been proven, but it's strongly logical that something along that line is what's going on, a very potent and synergistic interaction between vitamin C and cortisol, yes.
And that's where I was going, because we know that the adrenals produce anti-inflammatory and sometimes acutely, profoundly anti-inflammatory agents like cortisol, but also they also produce the types of chemicals that ramp up the body's energy, if you will, like epinephrine, norepinephrine, and so on. So I'm wondering if the vitamin C had an intrinsic and extrinsic effect. Intrinsic being that it had some direct effect on managing the infection, but the other effect, the extrinsic effect, was that it kind of got the adrenals to start working properly again.
No, I agree with you completely, and I would phrase it that as having a hemodynamic metabolic effect at the same time it's having a potent antibacterial effect, also at the same time that is having an extremely potent stimulation of the immune system in many different mechanisms. So there's at least three potent prongs by which vitamin C is having such a profound effect in septic shock, I would say.
I want to take a break, and when we come back, I want to open the discussion about lipospheric vitamin C for a second, because we know that in many cases, lipospheric vitamin C may actually outperform intravenous vitamin C. And I wanted to see if you could estimate the type of doses it would take if you were using a lipospheric vitamin C as opposed to intravenous. Stay tuned. We're going to be talking more with Dr. Thomas Levy when we come back.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains.
Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
If you followed my transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenics Prime and then trained, fasted, and remained fasted till my first meal at 2 o'clock. Ketogenics Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Ketogenics Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketogenics banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Ketogenics Prime. I couldn't have done it without it.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Thomas Levy, and we're talking about a recent study that was published that showed that vitamin C was effective at reversing septic shock and sepsis in people who are literally on death's door. So before the break, I mentioned that I understand this is intravenous, but there are some distinct advantages that lipospherically encapsulated vitamin C bring to the table that you taught us on the show many years ago. One that comes to mind is that because of the liposphere, it's able to get into the cell without being oxidized because the fat membrane around it is a Trojan horse, where even intravenous vitamin C, in order to enter the cell, it's going to be inactivated. It has to be reactivated because it's going to be oxidized passing through the cell wall. Am I incorrect on that statement?
No, that's basically correct there, Carl. What happens with the liposome-encapsulated vitamin C is even though you take it orally, which seems hard to believe, but even though you take it orally, because it's totally encapsulated inside a nano-sized liposome, which is very much like the natural messengers inside the cell, the different microcellular type of aggregates and the things that one cell uses to communicate to another. But anyway, the liposome will get from the GI tract into the lymphatic system, into the blood, and from the blood it can actually pass into the cell by something called pinocytosis, reverse pinocytosis, or pass through the pores of the cell, and then open up and deposit the contents as is. Now, the real significance of that is because it does all of that without consuming energy. When you give it intravenously, even if you have a large amount in the blood, it still all needs to be taken up inside the cell by an active transport mechanism, which consumes energy. So sort of like you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, you're using up energy to get energy inside the cell. Now, obviously, intravenous vitamin C is highly effective, and I'm not trying to say in any fashion at all that IV vitamin C isn't of enormous value. I mean, Dr. Klenner back in the 30s and 40s and 50s was resolving infections and toxic exposures right and left with high-dose intravenous vitamin C. So all the different forms of vitamin C have their place, but something I've talked about for a long time is if you're not getting the full clinical impact that you hope to get with a different form of vitamin C, don't consider it game over until you use multiple forms of vitamin C. So for people who are really trying to do their best to cope with their chronic disease, deal with their infection, and they're not getting it with just liposomes. They're not getting it with IV. They're not getting it with powder. You take all of those things together because they all get into the body by different mechanisms. And the real goal of trying to treat any chronic degenerative disease with antioxidant therapy like vitamin C is to get total body saturation of the vitamin C. And just one form doesn't do that. Most of the time, one form will give you the result that you want if you take enough of it, but sometimes it doesn't, and you shouldn't give up until you add multiple forms together and push their dosage up.
Okay. Now, with that being said, looking at some sort of a conversion equivalent, if you will. So if 6 grams of vitamin C intravenously, would it still be 6 grams of vitamin C if you were using it liposomally?
Well, you know, it's never really been worked out, but in my own observations, and that's all I can give you the benefit of is my own observations, is in viral infections, I found that taking 5 grams of the liposome encapsulated vitamin C orally was able to consistently have the same impact as 50 grams of vitamin C intravenously.
Wow.
Which seems crazy, but... The clinical observation is the clinical observation. So, I think whenever you have the opportunity to take the liposomes, you don't need to deliberately limit yourself to 1 or 2 packets if you think that's going to be the equivalent of 6 grams intravenously. I mean, go ahead and take 5 or 6 grams orally as well. And I suspect, we don't have the proof yet, that we would get an equivalent response. The only problem in the particular thing we're talking about right now with dealing with patients in sepsis, septic shock, and being very close to death is they're all intubated. Okay, they, and even though you can, with some difficulty, get a liposome product down a nasogastric tube, and get an oral effect, it's not the easiest, most elegant way to give the vitamin C. So probably the best scenario there is obviously you take the intravenous along with the hydrocortisone. And if you can get the patient to the point in time where they can be extubated, then they can get on 3, 4, 5, 6 grams of the liposome encapsulated vitamin C orally. And for the most part, with very rare exception, you should smoothly proceed to recovery.
That's impressive. That's so very impressive. Are there any excessive doses of liposomal vitamin C that you've seen that should people not use above a certain threshold, or is it pretty much safe at any dose?
Safety-wise, I've never seen a problem with it. The only thing that happens with some people is when you start getting 10, 15, 20 grams of the liposome encapsulated, the lipids, the phospholipids in which the vitamin C is encapsulated, they don't 100% get absorbed proximally in the butt, in the gut, and they get on down to the colon, and they might cause a greasy stool. Also, since nothing is 100% and liposome encapsulated vitamin C is not 100% encapsulated, when you take a large amount of the liposomes, you're also taking an increasing amount of unencapsulated vitamin C, and for some people, not too many, but some people will get a C flush by just taking 1 or 2 grams of regular vitamin C. So if you take 20 or 25 grams of the liposome encapsulated, even though most of it is in liposomes, you might still get enough unencapsulated vitamin C to cause the gut effect. But as far as toxicity, clear negative clinical effects, no toxic effects at any level have ever been defined.
Interesting. Interesting. How much vitamin C do you take a day, Dr. Levy?
Well, in my times of good health where I'm not fighting anything, just 1 to 2 grams a day, 1 to 2 packets a day, and that's an excellent dose of vitamin C. I also like to take a little bit of the vitamin C powder as well because it does different things. It helps clear out the toxins in your gut and keep your gut working better. So I like to take the 2.
Interesting. So in if I'm taking 1 to 2 grams of liposomal vitamin C a day, I don't take any other vitamin C. Is that a mistake? Should I also be using a powdered ascorbic acid or ascorbate?
Well, it's not essential, but like I said, practically everybody who's an adult in the United States, and I guess most of the kids too for that matter, have suboptimal digestion. And by suboptimal digestion, I mean 100% of the food does not get properly broken down and digested and processed. Instead, depending on a large number of different factors, a small to larger percentage of the foodstuffs will rot and putrefy. And when they rot and putrefy, they produce enormously potent toxins. And toxins, I think something we've talked about in the past, are literally at the root of all disease. Toxins are pro-oxidant, and the more oxidative stress you have in your body, the sicker you are. So I think it's a good habit to take a little bit of the liposome and a little bit of the regular powder every day, because the liposomes are distributing throughout your body, but the powder is going directly into your gut and neutralizing toxins as they're formed, and also helping people with sluggish bowels have bowel movements a little bit more frequently, which is also a very important factor in dealing with this toxicity, because the quicker you can get it out before it gets absorbed, the better.
Is there a timing aspect to taking vitamin C? I actually experimented with vitamin C before bed because of its purported ability to stabilize blood sugar levels, and I actually experimented with it. I can't report anything profound or even noticeable for me, but I tend to have really stable blood sugar to begin with. But is there a timing aspect to vitamin C? Is it something that is best taken during the active periods of the day as opposed to late at night, or is it also good late at night?
Some people, and I wouldn't say this is a consistent effect, but some people, especially those who are a little bit on the low energy side due to nonspecific toxicity in their body, if they take most of their vitamin C just before they go to bed or in the evening, they can sort of get a surge of energy and to that degree not sleep as well because they're not winding down, they're winding up. However, in general, I mean, vitamin C is metabolized quite quickly. It's water soluble. You take it orally or intravenously, and much of it is going to be out of your body 4 to 5 hours later. This actually is one of the other good benefits of the liposome encapsulated vitamin C because of the fact that the vitamin C pretty much stays encapsulated until it gets delivered into a cell throughout the body or an immune cell. It actually effectively works as a long-acting form of vitamin C.
Mm.
You just don't take it orally and it dumps all the vitamin C in the blood. When you get the vitamin C unencapsulated in the blood, obviously some gets taken up, but with one or two passes of the blood through the body, you're filtering it out very quickly through the kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not long acting in the sense of something that's slowly absorbed in the gut, like we usually think about when we think about extended release, but because of its biochemistry and its metabolism and the fact that it's stealthily delivering the vitamin C directly to the cells throughout the body and not dropping a lot of it into the blood, it does effectively work as a long acting form of vitamin C.
Interesting. I'm thinking about vitamin C as a from a prophylactic standpoint. When we talk about sepsis, we talk about toxins, when we talk about infection, do you think 1 to 2 grams a day is adequate at helping the body fight off infections in general?
Oh, absolutely. But the only thing to keep in mind is, I mean, we live in a microbiological pathogen cesspool these days, not only from outside of our body, but from inside of our body. And I say that because there's a lot of different factors. We have a lot of different pathogens in our mouth and elsewhere, which we coexist with most of the time. But when you get just the right stress, just the right compromise of the immune system, then all of a sudden you get a loss of resistance against these pathogens, and they quickly proliferate, not only bacteria, but viruses as well. And this is why I'm sure everybody's had the time where they might even start the day off feeling well, and they feel a little punky mm-hmm. around the middle of the day.
Right.
And by the time 3 or 4 o'clock rolls around, they're full-blown sick with a flu or the beginning of a cold. And that's how quickly, when you take away the barriers that you have against pathogens or you compromise them, that's how quickly they can proliferate and overcome you with an acute illness. So there's a lot of factors. Most of the time, if you're not dealing with a severe focal infection like in your mouth, an infected tooth, something along those lines, if you're not dealing with something like that, you should be able to tell when your body is starting to feel compromised, when you feel 90% rather than 100%, and then you can use that opportunity to updose your vitamin C and even add vitamin D and zinc and a few other things, and as often as not, get over an acute infectious challenge. But, I mean, everything is dynamic. It's not static. So things change from day to day, and even though 1 to 2 packets of the liposome vitamin C might keep you from getting a cold for a couple years, you're still going to have that one point in time where everything is working against you just right, and the pathogen proliferates, and before you have a chance to deal with it, you have a toxic, infectious level of pathogens in your body, also known as illness.
Right, right. Yeah, it's amazing. There's only a handful of creatures on the planet that don't make their own vitamin C. Humans, I know guinea pigs, and I think one other. I can't think of what it is.
Bats and primates.
There you go. Every other creature on the planet makes its own vitamin C. By the way, a little fact, and we talked about this once on another show, but why red meat is actually the only thing you could eat for every meal, every day, for the rest of your life and not develop a nutrient deficiency. Red meat even has noticeable amounts of vitamin C in its flesh because cows make their own vitamin C. So, but yeah, humans don't make their own vitamin C, which requires us to get it from our diet, and few of us get adequate amounts of vitamin C from our diets. We know that. Especially if you eat a lot of processed foods and fast foods. I want to say fake foods. That was a Freudian slip. And you know what? For people who don't know this already, that Live On Labs is a sponsor of ours, but I also buy their products. And I use their products. In fact, I take them every day right before my show because that's what reminds me to take them. I take 2 glutathione and 2 vitamin Cs every single day. And I stay pretty fit and healthy overall, as far as things like colds and flus and all that sort of stuff. I just don't get sick with those kind of things. So I'm a strong believer. And if you can cure sepsis using just 6 grams of intravenous vitamin C, there is some magic to vitamin C that you will never hear from your doctor, unless your doctor is like Dr. Levy. You won't hear it from your doctor. You're not going to hear your doctor say, hey, you should be taking vitamin C. Most doctors will say, oh, you're taking those kind of things just creates expensive urine. Doctors love to say that. They have no idea how silly they sound when they say that, but they love to say that. So, and if you're going to take a vitamin C supplement, I say take the Live On Labs product for 2 reasons. In my humble opinion, it's the best vitamin C product on the market today, period, end of story. Cindy and Les Nachman's commitment to producing an unparalleled product has shown through by the repeat business that they've gotten for years and years and years. But more importantly, they make this show possible. And if you learn one thing from this show every time you listen, we did that great show just now with Dr. D. Nicolantonio about sodium depletion and how most of us are suffering from sodium depletion. Don't listen to the mainstream orthodoxy telling you to cut your sodium down. We should be getting 5,000 milligrams of sodium a day, most likely, and we're not. And if you're drinking coffee, you're losing even more sodium. That one little tidbit of information, if that changes the way you train, your intensity, your workout, or how you feel, That was a gift from people like Live On Labs because they make this show possible. Without our sponsors, I can't do this. So if you're going to buy a vitamin C product, I say use the Live On Labs product because it's the best and they help you by making the show possible. And they bring us guests like Dr. Levy. I'd never have been able to get Dr. Levy on the show probably if it wasn't for Cindy Nachman. So there you go. Great information, great stuff, just more proof that vitamin C is very, very overlooked, and more evidence that Linus Pauling was right. Would you agree with that statement?
Oh, there's no question. I'm sure Linus would have been fascinated by the physiology that's involved in liposomes, but it was just, you know, a little bit before his time. But he absolutely was on top of everything, and gosh, we wouldn't be talking about what we're talking about today if it wasn't for Linus Pauling, for sure.
There you go. Hey, thanks so much for being on the air today with us, Tom, okay?
My pleasure.
All right, we'll talk again soon. All right, that's it for today. And sorry about the technical difficulties we had today. For those of you who wanted to watch our Facebook Live, I've discovered that we must have an Ethernet connection for the guest. If we don't have an Ethernet connection for the guest, we end up with this latency, this echo. It's happened before. I'm connecting the dots. So I promise you that in the future, when we do Facebook Lives, the guest will have an Ethernet connection so we don't run into that problem again. And we'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thank you for listening today. Seven.